Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Arauco's first quarter 2021 results conference call. Today, we have with us Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded, and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a Q&A session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that this presentation contains forward-looking statements that are based on the beliefs, assumptions, and expectations of the management of the company based on currently available information. They involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to future events or expectations and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Arauco and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. For further discussion of these risks and uncertainties, investors should refer to the quarterly and annual Arauco filings with the Chilean CMF and U.S. SEC. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements due to new information or future developments. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. Mr. Gianfranco, you may begin your conference.
Okay, thanks, and welcome everyone to this conference call for the results of the first quarter of 2021. If we begin with slide number four, we have a summary of the main figures of the quarter, and we can see that in terms of revenue, we obtained more or less the same revenues as last quarter, so $1.34 billion. This is a 0.5% reduction compared to the fourth quarter of 2020. In terms of net income, we had a 36.7% increase in the net income, coming from $75 million in the last quarter to $102 million this quarter. We had a 1% increase in the EBITDA from $381 million to $385 million this quarter. We had a reduction in net debt of about $100 million and also a reduction in leverage from 4.8 to 3.98, reflected in a less net debt and also a better last 12-month EBITDA this quarter compared to last quarter. We'll go to page number five. In terms of the causes for the stable revenues, we can see that we had two opposite trends here. Basically, we had a better pricing but a lower volume in both of our divisions. In the case of the pulp division, we had a 17.9% decrease in sales volume that was offset by a 11.2% increase in average prices. In the terms of wood products, we had a slight increase in the revenues of about 13.9%. Again, due to a 5.8% increase in average prices that was offset by a 4.3% decrease in sales volume. We will explain the reasons behind the decrease in sales volume, but basically it's because of the comparison with a good quarter in terms of sales volume in the fourth quarter and also some logistical issue and production issues that led to that decrease in sales volume. In terms of the distribution of sales, wood products obtained a 57.3% of sales and pulp 42.7% of sales. In terms of cost of sales, we had a 4% decrease or $36 million, and this is caused by a decrease in sales volume, as we already explained, and this is counterbalanced by some increases in some chemicals and some unitary sale costs that we are seeing over there, for example, softwood and in dissolving pulp. This is basically because we had some maintenance, program maintenance in the Valdivia, Nueva Aldea, and Arauco Line 1. That led to some decreases in production and also some lower sales volume. Our cost of sales was around $900 million for the quarter. In page number six, we are seeing a slight increase in administrative expenses, 2% from 134 to 137. And this is basically explained by an increase in salaries and severance indemnities. And this is, again, explained by an increase in provision for bonus for this year because of the better results that we are expecting for this year. In terms of distribution cost, we saw a stable cost of $145 million. Again, this is a lower volume of sales, but a higher unit cost of freight because of the logistical issue that we saw in this first quarter. Page number seven, other income and other expenses. In this case, we had a reduction in other income of 30%. This is about $33 million. We had a decrease in gains on sales of assets because in the first quarter, the last quarter of last year, we had a sale of some Brazilian operations that we had in forest. And in this case was offset by a profit that we got from the sales of our investment in Forestar Los Lagos, a company that we had 80% of ownership, and we sold for $48 million during the first quarter of this year. In the case of other expenses, we had a reduction of 10%, and this is explained by a decrease in impairment provision of property, plant, and equipment. This is caused by a decrease in the amortization of line one because we modified the life of the mill until September of this year. It was originally as of March, and also the salvage value of the mill was also increased to $30 million of some equipment that we're going to use. So that decreased the monthly amortization of that mill. This was offset to some extent to an increase in loss of forest and adjustment. We had a fire in Mato Grosso do Sul last year. We made a provision making some assumptions of the sale of the remaining of those forests that we got better precision about what is the amount of forest that we could save, and that we charged the accounting in that sense in the first quarter, and that is causing the loss in this quarter. In page eight, now looking at the whole net income statement, we can see we already talked about the main lines. Just to mention that we had a lower financial cost, 7% lower, and the rest is basically the same. We had, of course, a higher income tax. Sorry, slightly lower income tax. And we had a lower exchange rate differences that we this quarter compared to the last quarter, where we got $23 million of losses and now only $8.5 million losses. Page nine, looking at the a picture of the evolution of the EBITDA, we can see that we have increased the EBITDA margin and the EBITDA through the quarters, but we had a stable result this quarter compared to the last quarter. This is gonna we're gonna talk a little more about the future in when we talk about the outlook for the market. But we haven't seen the effects of the increasing prices yet in pulp because of the invoicing and the shipments. And also we had lower volume compared to the last quarter. If you look at the reasons behind the decrease, you can see that we had $4.5 million less in pulp division. $10 million less in wood products, and that was offset by the gain in EBITDA that we got from the sale of Forestar Los Lagos, which was about $20 million. In terms of the breakdown by division, $200 million for pulp and $188 million coming from the wood products division. Considering adjustment, only is $13 million. Remember that for this quarter, we are not reporting the forestry division. Right now, we are having only the divisions of wood products and pulp. So, most of the EBITDA that came from forestry now is in the pulp division. Now, if we go deeper into the business segments and we go to the pulp division in page 11, we can see the evolution of the pulp indexes. We're showing here the fixed pulp indexes for BHKP and SBSK for China and Europe, and we can see the trend that started at the end of last year and was sharply noticed during the quarter with a very big increase month by month of the prices in China and Europe. We can see now that, and in the case of China, we at the end of May, we are currently about $950 per ton for NBSK, and BHKP is about a little bit less than $800. The gap is about $200, roughly the same as the previous call. Remember, this is index prices, but it's what we see in the market. In terms of shipments, we are showing here only 2 months of both years, and it shows a 4% decrease in the total, and we can see that there's a big decrease in other Asia, and we have a slight decrease of 2% in the shipments for China. In terms of inventory, producer stock inventories, we only have data for BSKP. The Brazilians have not reported their inventory, so we cannot show the Brazilian figures or the BHKP figures, but we see stable in inventory levels for BSKP, about 38 days, a small increase compared to December, but normal days for this kind of market. If we go to page 12 and we go a little bit deeper into the results, we can see the reduction of 2% of the EBITDA of the pulp division, but a huge increase of 40% compared to 1 year ago. And this is basically done because of price variation. And you can see that compared to 1 year ago is 21% variation, and compared to quarter by quarter is 15% variation. This was offset by a decrease in volume. That's why we're not seeing the increase in EBITDA that we probably have seen without this variation in volume. And we can see that in the graph below that. Production was lower because of the program maintenance of the mills that I mentioned, the Valdivia and Aldea and Line 1. And also sales was basically the same as production, which was not the case in the fourth quarter, where we sold more than we produced. So the effect in comparing sales of quarter four and quarter one of 2021 is a little bit more exaggerated by the reduction in inventory. In terms of market, what we saw this first quarter was a very good demand that's reflected in the evolution of prices that we are showing in the graph below, but especially in printing and writing, in Europe, in all the markets. Tissue was stable, but a good level. But the thing to mention here is that that not all the price increase that was negotiated and accepted by clients is reflected in the results, because the invoicing and shipping was delayed because of the logistic problems that affected the whole market during the first quarter. The availability of containers and shipments delayed the invoicing of those volumes. And we're going to see more of that reflected invoicing in the second and third quarter of this year. In China, pulp demand remained at high levels, and customers have been able to increase prices for their products. And in Europe, there was a good market for printing and writing, deco paper and specialties, even with the mobility restrictions, and tissue markets was more stable. As in China, also prices were increased significantly. There is some delay in the increase in prices in Europe. As usual, China is leading the movement in prices for this market. You can see there in March, we got prices of $900 per ton in softwood and 730 dollars per ton in hardwood. The dissolving pulp reached $1,000, $1,050. So again, a very good market for dissolving pulp also. If we now go to the outlook for what we are seeing in this quarter, we are seeing stable pricing. As you also can see in the graph, we were able to increase a little bit the pricing for April. So for example, for softwood, we reached $980 in China, and for hardwood, about $800. And those prices were stable for May, and also for June, we announced stable prices. They were announcing stable prices also. There was also an increase in the dissolving pulp to $1,100 per ton. So very good markets and very good shipments. What we have seen in terms of the evolution is that it's more problematic for our clients in the tissue division to maintain and keep the prices going, because the pricing of tissue is a little bit more sticky, and especially the non-integrated producers have been finding difficulty in translating the pulp prices into the prices of the product. So we've seen some problems in the tissue market. But the rest is going pretty well. And we also expect that probably as we enter into the low season in pulp, especially in China, first summer season, we could have a little bit of probably a small decrease in pricing. We will see how it goes. But at the same time, we expect that Europe is catching up. The demand is stronger, so some of that effect will be offset by the higher demand in Europe that is catching up in terms of pricing. So, and after that, we expect that probably China will take the lead again as the summer season ends, and we can have a strong demand. So at this point, we're seeing a stable pricing for the moment, and we're going to see what happens after the low season that we are starting probably as of the end of June. In terms of dissolving pulp, and the situation is good, but the viscose market is with some price pressure, mostly because of some decrease in viscose pricing, and some seasonal slowdown. We'll see what happened there, but right now the price is very good for dissolving pulp that we are producing in our Valdivia mill. In terms of what we expect maintenance stoppage in the second quarter, we're going to have the line two of Arauco and Alto Paraná that already had the stoppage of 24 days. Now in the third quarter, we only have Licancel, which is a very small mill. Expect to have the unstop stoppage. Now moving to wood products. We also had a very good quarter in terms of EBITDA, a little bit less than the fourth quarter because of volume. This was more expressed in the solid wood division, which is more export oriented. So the difficulty of getting containers and shipments was more present in the solid wood division rather than the panels, which is more a local market. So in panels, we had a 2.3% increase in pricing and only a 1.4% decrease in volume. But in solid wood, we had almost a 10% decrease in volume and a 13% increase in price. So the market here is really good. I mean, construction is going very well, repair and remodeling also. So in every market, we are seeing very good demands. All of our mills are running at full capacity. I think the only mill probably is our mill in Argentina, the Zárate mill, which is probably working at 70% capacity, but the rest are working all at 100% capacity, and the demand is very strong. Prices have been going up very aggressively, especially in the U.S. in terms of plywood and moldings. So we're enjoying a very good market, and the thing is to supply the volume in order to maintain the good margins over there. In terms of volume, especially plywood, 14% increase. And average prices increased 9.1%. So it's very high demand in those markets. Page 15, we have, as you see there, stable production in panels, and sales. Some timber, the decrease in volume of sales that we talk about, we expect that we'll recuperate and is getting more momentum as the situation in logistics is improving. And in plywood, we had a very good increase in sales volume, especially in the U.S., where we're seeing record pricing and volume. Page 16, now the outlook for the 50% of sales that we obtained in North America. Everything looks pretty well. The housing starts has continued to go up steady since the crisis of 2009. The last number was 1.6 million housing started, and the trend is very good, in particular in MDF, with a strong demand continuing in Q1, strong remodeling and strong new construction segment, and also limited supply due to logistic restrictions that is affecting most of the producers. Prices increasing, and we expect to continue with this trend. At this moment, we're seeing that probably at least at the third quarter, we're going to see this good trend in this market. Remanufactured wood products, very active market, historic pricing, shortages in supply, high levels of consumption, and reduced supply coming from China because of duties. Plywood, as I already mentioned, steady increasing past month due to favorable weather, logistics issues, and record pricing in plywood, and most of the wood product division is getting record pricing. The same situation as we look at slide 17. Every market is doing very good in Brazil, in Chile, even in Argentina. We have been able to increase pricing, increase volume, and we are getting record terms in terms of EBITDA margin. So if you see in this summary, everything looks more or less the same, with strong demand worldwide, staying basically because of more liquidity of the older governments putting more liquidity in the markets, people are spending much less and saving in traveling and going outside for dinner and things like that, and improving their houses. So very good demand. Page 18, now looking at the free cash flow. This quarter we got $83.5 million positive free cash flow. In terms of EBITDA was similar, as I already told you. We had a positive working capital variation, and also we received an income tax payment because of a prepayment that we did in last year of about $60 million, which is the net is shown there of $49 million. Also, we had lower capex compared to the fourth quarter, only $291 million, this reflecting the lower payments in the MAPA project of suppliers. And this, as I told you, was compensated by other increases in the fourth quarter of $44.7 million. So that $83.5 million helped us reduce the net debt from about $100 million from the $5.12 billion that we got in the last quarter. Okay, and page 19, the evolution of the net debt. So finally, it's stabilizing and going a little bit down, and coupled with a stronger last 12-month EBITDA that was 18% higher, we were able to reduce the leverage for 4 times. We expect that this will continue to go down as we are having better quarters and getting out the worst quarters of last year and decreasing our net debt. In terms of cash, we ended the quarter with $924 million, even that we prepaid a debt that we're going to talk about later. Page 20, the amortization schedule that we have for the following years is very manageable, as you can see, in 2021, 22, and 23. In terms of what we have for this remaining of the year, we have $192 million in bank loans, basically the ones that are due in Montes del Plata, $48 million in leasing, And in terms of bond, we have $104 million. This includes amortization of local bonds and some interest payments. The biggest payment that we are facing is only in 2024, which is $800 million. That is basically explained by bonds obligations, Yankee bonds obligation that year. We most probably refinance that before the amortization, as we are looking for better cash flows in the future. Now, let's talk a little bit about some material facts and news. Page 22, we start with the prepayment of a $200 million bank loan that we had in Chile. We did that the last day of the quarter because of the excess cash that we were obtaining. So we prepaid those $200 million that was due originally in September 2023. So we are saving some interest expenses over there. Of course, this loan had some interest rate swap agreements that we had to cancel, and that were also paid with the amortization of the debt. So this is reducing our gross debt. That is one of the objectives that we have since we're getting better liquidity than we thought initially. In page 23, another recent news that we sold 80,000 hectares of forest in Chile, of which almost 62,000 hectares were productive land and plantations. We obtained a number of $385.5 million plus the corresponding value-added tax. We signed the master agreement for that, but the closing is subject to condition, especially antitrust authority that we expect that can be obtained in the coming probably 2 or 3 months. So after those conditions are met, we will execute the sale and deed of each property and some timber and supply agreements that we have signed. And we expect that after that closing, we will be able to record a gain and a net income of after taxes of approximately $192 million. The sales of those properties. The effect of an EBITDA will be around $260 million, roughly a one-time effect of EBITDA once this transaction is closed. This is very good news to increase our liquidity and also to reduce our net debt in a road for decreasing our leverage as we have promised to investors and rating agencies. In terms of cash and liquidity, we had $924 million at the end of the quarter. As you probably know, we have this revolving credit facility for $375 million that is due in February 2025 that we haven't used. We haven't withdrawn from that. And also, during the first days of May, we received $200 million more from Empresas Copec as part of the capital increase promised by Empresas Copec. So we already got in 2020 $250, now $200 more. So we have $450 from the $700 million that was promised by Empresas Copec. And we expect to analyze during the year if we need the remaining $250 million to see if we're going to accept that or not. But looks like it won't be necessary, but we will keep on looking on the market how it evolves in this respect. So the total liquidity of the company is about $1.3 billion at this point. Page 25, regarding the advance of the MAPA project, as of the end of April, the advance was 83%. In terms of recent highlights, we completed the work on the marine outfall. Was done. We finished also the work on the high voltage transmission line, and we did the hydraulic test for the power broiler. You can see a photograph of the mill there. It's well advanced, but it's a lot of people working there, a lot of compromise and effort to continue constructing under the pandemic in Chile, and we're making every effort to keep our employees and safe. So we have 5 test centers installed, and we are doing roughly 2,000 PCR exams per day. And we have done more than 300,000 PCRs, the workers of the projects. We are estimating that during the fourth quarter of 2021, we will start the project, and we will shut down the existing line one of eucalyptus that has 300,000 tons of capacity. In page 25, we have added more photographs. You can see there on the left the control center of the mill, which is, I mean, very nice. Looks like a Star Trek control center, and we are very proud of the technology involved in that control center. And we have shown on the right side the finished products warehouse that is completely done. You can see there some the roof of the finishing line. Some on the left, an aerial photograph of the mill in terms of showing all the boilers, and on the right side, all the washing line that is also with the roof completed. So a lot of advance, but a lot of work to keep going. The last 17% is a lot of effort, managing more than 8,000 people working in there in the mill under the conditions of pandemic here in Chile. So this is what I had to comment in terms of the slides, and I would like to open for any questions that you could have at this moment. Thanks.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone at this time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Questions will be taken in the order that they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. Our first question comes from Carlos de Alba with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Gianfranco. So my first question is regarding the pulp production and shipments. You continue to have maintenance stoppages in the second quarter in two lines with 44 days. So in terms of days, it's not dissimilar from last quarter. So the question is, do you see what can you talk about in terms of volumes, both production and shipments of pulp in the second quarter, and how the outlook for the year is looking like, just considering that you still have maintenance and therefore maybe your production and shipments will continue to be subdued. And to that end, how is the logistics conditions or situation right now? Is it improving versus what you experienced in the first quarter, or continues to be more of the same? And if so, when do you think we can see an improvement? And the second question is regarding your net debt and your leverage. You alluded to the fact that maybe pulp prices have peaked, at least in the short term, and at least in China, which is clearly the leading market there, right? So your leverage, while has improved, it remains high. So how do you see the evolution of your leverage in the coming quarters? You see that EBITDA, or you mentioned or suggested that EBITDA will continue to increase as some of the recent price increases in pulp start to flow through the numbers. But as at the same time, if pulp prices are peaking, then maybe the upside is going to be capped at some point. And given the high level, yeah. So just how do you see the evolution, and what would be the options in case you don't bring it down to the level where you will feel comfortable? Would then Copec contribute the full amount of the capital increase?
Okay, Carlos. Okay, going to the first question, pulp production and shipments. In terms of logistics, outbound logistics, the situation is better than it was in the first quarter. So we don't have the restrictions that we saw in the first quarter in terms of availability of containers. So the situation is better. So in terms of shipments, will be better. And I think in terms of production also should be a little bit better, because it's true that we have two maintenance the second quarter, but they are a smaller capacity. I mean, in terms, for example, the Alto Paraná mill is only 350,000 tons and is basically some local market. So Arauco Line 2 is a smaller mill than Nueva Aldea, which Nueva Aldea is roughly double the capacity of of line two. And also Valdivia is a big mill. So in terms of availability of capacity and production will be better, I think, the second quarter, and also in shipments. So I will expect that sales volume would be better. And we have to finish this month that we still have, June, to see what happens. But I would say that should be better in terms of volume than in terms of production and shipments than was last quarter. And in terms of the net debt and leverage, there are basically some things that will contribute to have a better net debt and leverage for the future. The first one is the reflection of price increases in the EBITDA. As I've told you, we have obtained the better pricing, but we have to invoice that better pricing, and that relates to shipments and that kind of thing. So we should have better average pricing invoiced in the coming quarters. We will have also probably more volume. And so that will reflect in higher EBITDA most probably than the quarters you have seen. And that it will reflect in better free cash flow. That will reduce net debt. And also, the last 12 months EBITDA will be better because we will be replacing, for example, the second quarter, which was the worst quarter than we thought. So last 12 months EBITDA will be increasing as we advance, even with a stable pricing in pulp. The wood pro division continues to be very good, probably will be stable or even increasing a little bit, at least at the third quarter. And also we have some one-time effects that will help decrease our net debt, which is the sale of forests, which is $385 million. So it's a lot of cash that we will receive that more than compensates the $200 million of the capital increase. So as I told you, we will monitor the evolution of the results in the coming quarters, but we think that we're going to be in a better position because of the realization of better pricing, the better last 12-month EBITDA, the one-time effects of these sales of forest that will impact EBITDA and especially cash, which is the best part. And we will evaluate during the year if we really need that. But I will say that leverage should go down. We cannot say a number right now, but it should go down quarter by quarter as we transit through the year.
Thank you.
The next question is from Isabella Vasconcelos with Bradesco BBI. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, Gianfranco. My first question is on pulp market dynamics in China. If you could comment a little bit on how you're seeing pulp inventories at paper makers, and also, if possible, inventories of finished paper products as well, just to get a better sense of how the supply and demand dynamics are evolving in China. And the second question, also on pulp market dynamics in China, about price negotiations in May, if you already felt more resistant from paper makers, and if that's why you're seeing some reduction, albeit small, in coming months. Thank you.
Okay, Isabella. Well, I would say that the situation in China it's different for hardwood pulp than for softwood. I would say that it's stronger for softwood, basically because the tissue clients are getting more pressure in terms of margins. So the demand for pulp that goes to tissue is a little bit softer because some non-integrated producers of tissue are suffering a lot the high prices of pulp, and they are most of them small producers. They don't have pricing power to increase the price of tissue, and that is putting some of them to produce at lower capacity in terms of tissue. So the hardwood market is a little bit more pressure in terms of softer demand. At this moment we're entering to the soft season. The softwood market is better, long fiber, and is stronger, and it's easier to maintain pricing and to confirm volumes than the hardwood market. That's more or less the situation at this point, and we have to see what happens. In May, we were able to confirm all the volume at the same pricing that was for April, and very good pricing. And for June, we have announced stable prices. We are not confirmed yet the volume. So we are seeing how things pick up during June, but we are trying to get the same pricing, which is very good pricing for this moment. And I think it will be easier for softwood and hardwood. That's my sense in China.
Thank you. Very clear. And about inventories, do you see any pressure there?
No, not a lot of visibility because not a lot of data, but there's some decrease a little bit in demand, as I told you, but very small, but also there's a decrease in supply. The logistics of getting to China has been difficult from the first quarter, so some decrease in supply. So I will guess that the inventories are still low and they're not accumulating there in China. So my feeling is that that we have balanced inventories and no pressure for decreasing prices because of excess inventory.
That's very clear. Thank you.
Once again, if you do wish to pose a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please hold again while we poll for questions. Our next question is from Leopoldo Silva with Lorraine Vial. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you, Gianfranco, for all the details. So my first question is regarding maintenances. I see that your Constitución and Montes del Plata mills are not having maintenances on these 12 months. So I would like to know if this is something sporadic or are you looking to structurally extend the timing between these maintenances because that would increase your output?
Well, we did a maintenance of Montes del Plata and Constitución last year. So normally we try to fix it in 1 year. Sometimes we delay it a little bit depending on how the mill is working. And of course, also in this period, it's been more difficult to get people coming from outside those countries to get the normal maintenance. But those mills got the maintenance last year, at the end of last year, so they are fully functional, and we expect without any doubt that we will get to the next maintenance at the beginning of 2022. So it's normal business. So we're not extending so much the timing.
All right. Thanks. On second place, I would like to know about the merger of the, at least of the information on forests and pulp. Regarding those forests that are only dedicated to wood products and panels, are these going to be under this new consolidated pulp segment, or are they going to go under the wood products segment?
No, the margin that obtained from those sales is in the pulp division right now. So we sell at a transfer price, which is market basically, and that margin of EBITDA stays in the pulp market that is consolidated in the forestry division.
All right, thank you. And shortly, just my third question is regarding the sale of the forest that you made. I see that at least half of the revenue that you are expecting from this is going on to is, I mean, your net income is equivalent to half your revenues, but at least under my understanding, the forest part is recorded at sales price, right? With all the net income already accrued at the time you harvest or at the time you sell. So those $190 million would come of net income would come from the sale of the land. And can you explain how much of the sales price of this package was of land was for I was for Forest. I mean, because I'm a bit confused because I knew that the proportion between forest and land for 1 hectare of a productive hectare is 3:1. So I'm a bit confused. Thank you.
Well, the thing is that the accounting value of the forest, including the land, is accounted as historical value. Okay, so it's the amount you paid when we acquired the land. But the biological assets are evaluated according to a model that we have that takes into account our margins, the distances, and all the capital that was put into planting those trees. But that is not necessarily the value that the buyer is assigning to that. So the buyer is buying those biological assets at a higher value that we had in our accounting. So there is a profit from the biological assets and also because of the land. So both parts are getting the net income, as you said. I cannot disclose you the proportion of those, but there's also profit from biological assets because the valuation that we have in our books is based on our margins, our mills, our distances, as not necessarily the value that was assessed by the buyer when competing for those forests. The discount, for example, the discount rate for an investment fund could be lower than we use for forest.
Okay, great. Very clear. Thanks very much, Gianfranco.
Thank you.
This concludes the question and answer section. At this time, I would like to turn the floor back to Mr. Gianfranco Trufeo for any closing remarks.
Okay, well, thanks for attending this call. Normally, as usual, we have resources here to attend any other questions that you might have. The next conference call will be for the second quarter and probably mid-August. We'll be having the numbers and doing this conversation again. So thanks again for attending this call.
Thank you. This concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your line at this time and have a nice day.